Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. Amen. The text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12. We hear the first few verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God's word is truth. Amen. I came across a quote, life but no living. And it reads, first, I was dying to finish high school and start college. And I was dying to finish college and start working. And then I was dying to marry and have children. And then I was dying for my children to grow old enough for school. And then I was dying to retire. And now I'm dying. And suddenly I realized I forgot to live. You see, so often in this life, we are pushing ahead full steam to the next big event, the next big goal. And we fail to live in the day that the Lord has made, and most importantly, for the Lord. Psalm 103 really points out to us and brings this question to the forefront. What is this thing called praise? What is worship? And it isn't just a matter of sitting when it's time to sit and standing when it's time to stand. It isn't a matter of turning the page at the right moment and speaking the creed clearly. It isn't a matter of singing, oh, that's the outward stuff one might see, but you can do all of that out of rote memory and not have it mean a thing. The motions don't make it worship. The motions don't make it praise. That's why it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, right? Praise him from your guts and your soul. It's an inward thing and it works its way out. Now, you might have realized that you can't flip a switch and have a go-go soul, and you can't switch it off and have soul sleepy time. It's the Holy Spirit who moves within you to give you a soul that desires to praise him. It's the Lord who moves you to come here. It's the Lord who brought you here today to be in his house and to hear his words. It's the Lord who brought you here to praise his holy name for his glory and your good. But why? Why praise the Lord? I mean, sometimes we can think, well, we got to be here for this, or I got to usher this day, or, you know, confirmation is today, and so I'm here for this person, or, you know, I just need to meet in contact with somebody that I need to greet and haven't talked to for a while. And all these things are good, but finally, we need to be reminded of why we praise him, and that's, all of those are not why we praise the Lord. You see, so often, and too, this is very true, we can be so often living for the next big event in our life, but not living for the one who gives us life in all things. And King David, he needed to be reminded of it. And if he does, you better believe we need to as well. And a part of praise is reminding ourselves why it is that we have come to his house. Why praise him? And what is this thing called worship anyway? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You see, we come to hear, speak, and sing what the Lord has done, what he continues to do, and to receive his blessing. Verses 8 through 11 says this, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him, for those who believe in him. Right? Hold him in awe. And what powerful words. I mean, we deserve defeat. We deserve God's anger to burn forever against us because of even the slightest sin. A bunch of sassiness for mom and dad. Turning to alcohol to drink down the problems of the day instead of turning to the Lord. Creating discord and jealousy among people here in the congregation or at your house. Right, brothers and sisters, there might be some of that. And that's true if you're 7 years old or 57 years old. Or maybe it's creating discord and jealousy at work. But you know, you know your sin. And each one, including myself, deserve God's wrath, and you know it to be true. It reminds me of this story about Nick. Nick was a young boy. And every summer, Nick and Mary Lou, his sister, would spend 2 weeks at Grandma's farm. And Nick loved going through Grandpa's tools in the barn. And on Monday, right away, he found a slingshot. And he took it out and started to shoot at different animals. He missed the dog and the cats. They're so quick. He tried a steer, hit its hoof, which is for the best, I think, anyway. But he kept going. He missed the squirrel and some birds. Coming back, Nick shot at Grandma's favorite duck. Oh. Yeah, there's a fatality on the scene, and Nick was terrified. He loved his grandma so much, and yet he killed Grandma's duck. And he ran to the shed, and he grabbed the shovel. He buried the duck behind the barn, thinking that nobody saw it. But Mary Lou saw it. And that evening after supper, Grandma asked Mary Lou to clean the dishes, and she responded, "Nick wants to clean the dishes." Then she went up close to him and whispered, "Remember the duck?" Oh, Nick washed the dishes because he was afraid that Mary Lou would tell Grandma about the duck. And the next morning, Grandma asked Mary Lou to sweep the front porch, and Mary Lou piped up, "Nick wants to do it." And she gave Nick the look and mouthed the words, "Remember the duck." I mean, that's all she had to do. And Nick swept. And all that week, anytime Mary Lou was given a task, she gladly volunteered Nick to do it. And Nick did it. And by Friday of the first week, Nick couldn't take it anymore. His conscience was killing him. And he went over to Grandma crying and confessed everything to her in mostly unintelligible words and in between uncontrollable sobs. And the only words that Grandma could get out of it were "duck, dead, and sorry." Grandma gave him a hug and said, I know, I've been trying to get that out of you all week. I love you, Nick. I forgive you." And hugged him again. And now Nick could breathe. He could live without this hanging over his head anymore. But boy, was Mary Lou upset. For some of you, it isn't the duck, but what is it? You know, maybe it was something last week. Maybe it was something 10 years ago. I don't know, but Satan is there to accuse you of it. And he loves to hold us in the slavery of fear, to hold sin over our head, to crush our spirit. And until we confess our sin to the Lord, it will be there. Satan whispers, "Remember the duck," or something similar, whatever it is. But he whispers that any time you get close to the freedom Christ gives through forgiveness, and Satan accuses us to keep us in his power, to drive a wedge between us and God. And God, however, he points out our sins to lead us to forgiveness and to save us from such slavery. As we hear, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's verse 12. And all of that is only possible because of Jesus Christ. What joy there is to have forgiveness and new life in the Lord. Why wait any longer? But it isn't enough for the Lord to stop there. No, the Lord crowns you with love, a steadfast and loyal love, and with compassion. What a crown he gives you to wear, finer than anything this world could offer, and he satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And God determines what is good, and what is good deals with spiritual wealth and growth in faith, relishing in forgiveness and incubating love towards God and all mankind. What is this thing called praise? What do we get out of it? Let's hear where we never forget what the Lord has done for us and continues to give to us: forgiveness of sins, new life, and salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.